And welcome to the Tater Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, and today we're going to be talking to Stephen Sahuni in Syria about the latest developments there. There's been some very important ones. And later in the program, we will be talking to Rabbi David Miviser, and he is going to be speaking tonight at 24 Main Street West, Hamilton, at 7 o'clock at the New Vision United Church. And he is active in the Independent Jewish Voices. He has recently been to Israel, West Bank, and was part of protests there. And in the latter part of the show, we will also speak with Mike Hirsch of the United Steelworkers, remembering Mike Seward, a very beloved figure in Toronto and Canada and well-known. He was a militant of the steelworkers, been also of the NDP, outstanding fighter. And I believe we're joined by Stephen Sahuni. Are you there, Stephen?
Yes, I am.
Stephen, thank you very much. And I congratulate Carol and everybody else for being in touch with you. You are in Latakia, Syria. Well, first of all, the big news actually I'm seeing in the last few days is that Syria has taken the matter of the U.S. bombing in Syria, killing civilians, and of course acting without any coordination with Syrian government. They've taken this up now at the United Nations. I guess, tell us why they, what has been happening that and it triggered this new step by the government of Syria.
The Syrian government, since the coalition, so-called coalition that was it's led by the United States, from the day one it started, they went out to the media, they went to the United Nations, and they told the world that if you want to fight terrorism, you have to coordinate, and if you want to do airstrikes in Syria, you have to coordinate with the Syrian government. The Russian administration said the same thing. Whoever want to fight terrorism, they have to coordinate with the government in Syria. Until now, the Syrian government sees that the coalition airstrikes in Syria is illegal because they did not ask from the Syrian government if they can participate, because Syria is a sovereign country. While on the other side, if you are the Russians, the Syrian government asked for their help.
Mm-hmm.
But the Americans did not. They just came in. They acted like they ruled the world, like how they always do. They're the police of the world. They can do whatever they want. They have been doing airstrikes for over 1 year and a half, almost, I think, or 2 years. No progress. They did no progress. We've seen the Russians and the Syrian Air Force doing airstrikes against ISIS were really harmful from the vehicles for ISIS going from Syria all the way to Turkey with the oil. The other day we saw a huge caravan for ISIS being destroyed completely. On the other side, we see the coalition when they bomb, either they bomb a car or they bomb a few people or they bomb a civilian building. There's only one or two scenarios. Either they do not want to fight terrorism and they do not want to fight ISIS. Mm-hmm. Or number two is that their technology does not work because they have more technology than the Russians. And mm-hmm. we all know that from our space, and they can see everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. So the only reason, if you want to sit and think about it, the only reason why no progress happened from the airstrikes from the coalition, the only reason it will show you that they do not want to fight terrorism. Or yes. The other day, as we're speaking right now, the Syrian government is starting a huge operation towards east of Syria, the city of Deir ez-Zor, from three different areas, from southeast Aleppo, from the desert Palmyra, and from the other one other side, also from the desert, towards the city of Deir ez-Zor in east of Syria on the border with Iraq. At the same time, the Iraqi army are fighting ISIS. They're going to meet on the border from the Syrian border at the city of Deir ez-Zor. What did the American coach and the Syrian government and their allies have been doing huge progress on the land, big, huge progress. We're talking about thousands of miles, big areas, tens of villages and cities. What did the American coalition did? They threw papers where the Syrian government fighters or the Syrian Arab army has, and they're telling them to not keep going. That will show you.
I'll just remind our listeners, this is Stephen Sahuni. He is a journalist. He is in Latakia, Syria. And this point that you started with seems to me so vital. The recent bombing in Manchester got the world's attention once again. And everyone's, in reacting to it, the Europeans all debate, well, how to combat. And it seems to me obvious they're missing an important feature, and that is that the Syrian government is fighting terrorists itself. And if they would cooperate and respect the sovereignty of that government, we could defeat terrorism. But they try to have a claim they're fighting terrorism, but they don't unite with those countries who are the main targets of terrorism, such as Syria.
Of course, and that's true what you said. It's very saddening what happened in the city of Manchester. Actually, we've been in Syria going through that for the last 7 years. No one condemned it. No one is trying from the international community. No one's trying to stop the war in Syria. No, what we saw there, the other day, the new American administration, they went to the mother of all terrorism, Saudi Arabia, and sold weapons to them. And we all know the black history of the Saudi royal family. The Saudi royal family, they funded terrorism in Afghanistan to fight the Soviet Union in the mid-20th centuries. They are behind 9/11 in 2000 in New York. They are behind terrorism in Libya, Iraq, Syria, Yemen. Just 2 weeks ago, the Iraqi army burst into a big weapon storage for ISIS in the city of Mosul, and they found weapon boxes from Saudi Arabia. They also found weapon storages on the border between Iraq and Jordan, also weapon storages, also weapons from Saudi Arabia. The Syrian army, when they cleared and finished East Aleppo, they also found big, huge quantities of weapons from Saudi Arabia. So what we see here today is if we want to fight terrorism, first of all, we have to, as you say, the sovereignty of Syria and cooperate with the Syrian government. That number one. Number two is everyone has to stop funding terrorism and stop supporting Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabia royal family, because they are the mother of all terrorists. And if we want to not see any more tragedies, not in Syria or Europe or the United States or Canada or anywhere around the world, we have to fight terrorism in Syria, fight terrorism in Libya, in Iraq, and at the same time is to stop the ideology and stop the support that we're seeing for the Saudi royal family.
Yes, and it simply means cooperation. They expose themselves when they say they won't deal with Syria because Syria could quickly enable the identification of these people. But this is where the hypocrisy is exposed, because the people we're talking about are the ones that are being used against Syria. So the very people who have special protection are the ones who are also carrying out attacks in places like Manchester. I want to ask you about this comment by Sisi. It was quite short why he was at the meeting with Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure, but he seemed to have made everybody very uncomfortable. What did you make of the statement made by President Sisi of Egypt?
Egypt is trying. Look, Egypt is in a role. They're not lucky. They're not lucky in the situation they are right now, because Egypt still till today they are not. They're unstable from inside. They're trying to stand with Syria. They're trying to stand, but at the same time they cannot piss off the Saudis or the Qataris or the Gulf people, because that will lit up Egypt and the inside of Egypt. So you see him, President Sisi, trying to do statements about Syria, statements for fighting terrorism, but at the same time you see him putting his hands in the hands of the Saudis and the Gulf. So it's just all talk from the Egyptians till now, from the Egyptian administration. It's still now just talk. We did not see any the world community, Syria and all of them did not see any activity from the Egyptian government. There was some visits between Syrian officials and Egyptian officials through the Syrian crisis. But as I told you, just statements on the media.
Yes.
No work on the ground.
It is very interesting that the major players in the region are sort of wondering, when they help the Americans, whether they themselves are targeted. Mr. Erdogan found out in Turkey, he's not so sure who his friends are. And he's been doing the heavy lifting of supporting the terrorists. And I thought Sisi's remarks, he asked questions. You notice he didn't provide answers, but he said, who's providing the money for these guys? And who is training them? And where are these external bases? And everybody in the room just stared. I thought those questions were rather helpful.
Yes, they were very helpful. As I told you, they do statements. If you listen to him, you say, oh, he's with Syria, Russia, fighting terrorism. Then after the next day, you see him doing another statements, doing deals with the Saudis and the Gulf. Mm-hmm. So we cannot go on the Egyptians. They have their own enough problems. There are about 80 million people. ISIS is all over there, killing the Christians over there. So he's just trying to keep everyone happy, to keep his country stable. So
yes, which is not so easy to do.
Yeah.
This is Stephen Sehuni, and he is a journalist, a Syrian-American, and quite familiar with things. Tell us about the progress in Aleppo, because people are starting to talk now, and we're seeing it even in mainstream media, slowly admitting that the word to describe Aleppo is liberation, not fall.
Yeah.
When you and I spoke, say, a month and a half, 2 months ago, everybody said, the Western, Toronto Star, New York Times, the fall of Aleppo. Now it's turning into, it must have been, the liberation. Describe what you know about the situation there.
When we were speaking about 2 months ago, the Syrian army and his allies on the ground with the Russians liberated the city of Aleppo that has over 3 to 4 million people. They liberated. The operations did not stop. Then the operation kept going through towards southeast Aleppo and west Aleppo. Southeast Aleppo, you have ISIS, so the operations are still going on till as we're speaking, and every day is going. Like today, we're seeing the Syrian army coming into areas they haven't been in for the last 4 or 5 years. That is the progress they're getting to.
Yeah. And the people are returning, are they not? I mean, you had a tremendously, you had an Aleppo population in western Aleppo who were, of course, people from east Aleppo, never reported here. And they were being attacked by the terrorists who had gun positions in East Aleppo. But I assume that population is now returning, are they?
Let me be honest. They are returning, but very slow. Like people, it's not easy to bring them back to their homes. Their houses is destroyed. They're still afraid, and it's their right to be afraid.
Yes.
Because a lot of them, they saw their relatives being their head cut off and all of that. So it will take time, but some a lot, even here, even in my hometown, Latakia, big numbers of the Aleppo families are returning. Yes, and I was saying that in Southeast Aleppo, the Syrian army and their allies on the ground is progressing, doing on the progress. But on the other side, the west is on the borders with Idlib and all of that. So you have other groups that the Astana meeting, and so there's no battles over there going on right now. Also in the north suburbs of Hama, also the battles have stopped over there. But the situation in suburbs of Damascus is doing really good. Today, the area of Barze in suburbs of Damascus was cleared, liberated completely. Over 1,000 terrorists and their families were shipped to the city of Idlib. Also, there many areas in lately has been finished. The same situation happened with the city of Hamas. Today, the city of Hamas is clear from terrorism 100%, and that is because the area called Al-Wa'ar in city of Hamas, also they shipped all the terrorists to the city of Idlib. So on the ground, we're seeing the situation much, much, much better. That pissed off the United States and their allies. So they tried to do the attack, on the Jordanian borders, trying to scare everyone.
Yes, now tell us about that. I mean, a week ago, it sounded almost like Jordan and the U.S. were going to pull an adventure, but they seem to have turned into, looks more like a bluff.
Yeah, it is a bluff because, as we all know, that when the United States or the Jordanian, when a military army want to do an attack on another army, it's not going to be a guerrilla warfare. Is going to be a classical war, like the how normal wars happen. So the Syrian army is well trained on that, and the Syrian army till now they never used 2% of their weapons that they have, and we're talking about the big heavy range, long range missiles. We're talking about the advanced weapons that they have that they cannot use against terrorism, like the weapons they have. They cannot use it against terrorism because there's civilians in the area. So all of that weapon, and the Syrian army is known to be one of the strongest armies in the Middle East. So they know they cannot do a war with Syria. And there is no war in the region, in the short period. There is no war because any war, it will lit up into a regional war. You will have Syria, Iran, Iraq, yes. Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, the Gulf, all lit up on fire.
Yes.
Like it won't only be in Syria. And it might go into a World War III. So
yes. Well,
they tried to escalate and scare everyone to gain some stuff, but to gain some stuff politically or on the ground. But they saw they failed. The Syrian army tried to advance towards the border with Jordan. They struck them. The Syrian army kept advancing. They did not care for the bullying. America, how they do their bullies, they tried to do on Syria. It did not work. So we have to see what's going on, especially today. We're seeing that the Gulf from each other, they're fighting, and big problems between Qatar and Saudi Arabia. That has a big role on the Syrian ground.
The bandits, bandits are beginning to fall out with each other. Rather, like the old proverb, crooks will begin to attack each other. I want to ask you a last question. They're also in the media here. Their talk is there's going to be. They're determined they're going to balkanize, and particularly in the eastern part. Well, that doesn't look like it's succeeding either. What do you think of their plan to balkanize particularly in the eastern region of Syria?
They're playing on the role, and they are betting on the Kurds and sending money and sending them weapons and all of that. And the Kurds are advancing in the east of Syria, but the Kurds, they are smarter than, let's say, falling in the trap, because they know their countries, it is dead before it will be born. The Syrian government, the Syrian people don't want it. The Turkish and the Iraqis, they don't want it. No one wants it.
And even, by the way, didn't Turkey now agree, talking to Russia, maybe even to Iran, saying the borders of Syria have to be secure or recognized?
Yes. So
that's
no
a
one
major
wants
concession.
Country. And the Kurds themselves, they know it's better for them to stay, to not do their own country, because it will not work, as I told you. They have nothing to start a country. When you want to start a country, you need to have the basis. They don't have that basis. It's just trying. The America is trying to make them to fall in a trap. But the Syrian Kurds, they learned from the Iraqi Kurds the mistake that the Iraqis did, and we're seeing how the Iraqi Kurds today are suffering from the money, from the funding, and all of that. So the Syrian Kurds will not fall for that trap. The Syrian Kurds, they are fighting in many areas. We saw that the Syrian Kurd fighters, they pulled out of the area to let the Syrian army come in. So that you will see that there's coordination between the Syrian Kurds on the ground and the Syrian government. I'm not so scared about from the Kurds. Because in the end, you sit on the table politically, you will give them something, and you will take something from them.
Yes.
But there is no, Syria is not going to be split. And the President Assad said that we're going to, like the Syrian government is saying, like they're not going to stop fighting until they get back every piece of Syria and every border pass.
Good.
So I don't think that this is going to happen, what the Americans dream about doing.
Yeah, I think their little dream has gone up in smoke. Stephen Sahuni, we're very grateful. Thank you very much, and we look forward to talking to you
You're
again
welcome.
Soon.
Thank you.
Good day. Bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And we're going to take a quick break, and we will come back, and we'll be talking to Rabbi Mivasera.